Welcome to the Kerama Church Podcast.
I think I said earlier, I remember, I think we were just coming out of lockdown. And I remember coming into the we were in the process of starting to build the studio in one of the rooms at the back where all the kind of music kind of happens. And there in there was all the sofas piled up in like a wigwam, and Chris, who's quite tall, on his knees singing with a microphone in there so that they could get the right sound on his voice, a nice dead sound in the room. Thankfully, things have moved on a little bit now and there's some nice soundproofing in there. But that was the... As we started to write music and we wanted songs... We wanted to write songs that the Holy Spirit liked. And as we started that journey, this wonderful presence of the Lord came. And I want to give you a little update this morning on where we are with buildings and things, because lots of people have been asking. You know, we've been around spinning our wheels for 2 years. We're so grateful for all the Lord has been doing and healing and salvation. I love that last story about, my back after 2 years and the pain has gone. And we've been praying for this building and it's looking like we're on the move. It's looking like God has something else for us. And in the week, another opportunity has come up. We've been constantly looking and not been able to find places that have the right planning and all of that, because it takes such a long while. But the university is starting to sell off a lot of their properties because they're broke at the moment. So that's good for us because it's the same planning, education, religion. So we can piggyback off that. And there's a beautiful property just come up just down the road. It's a mile down the road. It's in Knighton. Set in 5 acres of beautiful land. Now, this won't interest any of you, but there's parking there. And right next to the David Attenborough Arboretum, it has a conference centre with a 100-room hotel. Lots of beautiful meeting rooms. It doesn't have an auditorium, which is one of the reasons why it's probably failed over and over again, because they've got all this space for people but nowhere for them to gather. So we would need to build an auditorium on it. It's in very good condition. But the reason I'm not showing you, I've got this picture up, this one we were praying over, I think, in revival prayer, is it's not about any one particular building. There will be highs and lows, but it feels like we're on the move, and that the Lord wants to move us into a new place where we're clear. We're building a house of worship. We're building a people that love the Holy Spirit and want to worship His name. We're building a house that will refresh those that are already in ministry. Many, many over the last 7 years have come through this place, pastors, leaders, many of them at the point of giving up ministry have come and been refreshed and been filled with the Holy Spirit, are now doing altar calls every week, seeing people healed and saved every week, and their churches growing. We want a place where people can, people in ministry can get refreshed. We want to build a house where the next generation are trained to be ministers and preachers and evangelists of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is a wind blowing across this land. The young are coming in. You know how young this church is. We want a place where we can train them and prepare them for the rest of their lives. Now, let me be honest. In order to do anything of this size, we need a miracle. To purchase, we would need at least £6 million, and then probably another £2 million to build and all the upkeep. But God. Okay, remember when I said, you know, whenever you're reading the scriptures, it's how are we going to do this but God? Okay, and you've heard me say everyone should attempt something that is doomed to fail unless Jesus steps in. You know, that's what we call faith. Richard Branson says, if your dreams don't scare you, they're not big enough. Okay, and it was funny because I was just sitting at my desk feeling a little scared, and it came up on my Facebook, and I thought, okay, that's good, because I am scared. That means it's starting to get big enough. Well, the question is, how could we afford it? Well, it's really quite straightforward. If one of you could give £6 million, sorted. I don't know who you're laughing at. I was just going to pick someone. You. You know, if you want to spread the load a bit, maybe if six of you gave £1 million, okay, and that would they just spread the load and no one feels like they're taking the whole burden. Or if 100 give 60K, that's £6 million. If 1,000 give £6,000, that's £6 million. If 2,000 give £3,000. You know, we keep our database up to date. There's about 3,300 people on it. So I just looked how many we got on our database. And if everyone on our database gave £1,818 over 12 months, that's £151 a month, we would have, in 1 year, we would have £6 million. And the gift aid that we could claim back would be £1.5 million. So you're well on the way to building the auditorium. Okay, so God is in the habit of doing miracles. Now, I've been reading Haggai all week. Oh my goodness, look at the time. We're going to move fast, but I want you to hear this. Haggai is prophesying in 520 BC. The Jews are returning from exile from Babylon, and the reconstruction of the temple has already started, but it has stalled for 16 years. And the reason it's stalled is because personal affairs have overtaken God's business. And what I want to say to you is the UK has had so many opportunities to see revival over the years. The charismatic movement, the early Wimber years, Toronto. But this time, we must build his house over any agenda. So I want you to find the book of Haggai. Okay, it's right at the end of the Minor Prophets. It's tucked in between Zechariah and Zephaniah and Zechariah. Sorry, let me find it. Since my little space has gone, it's just back here. Here it is. And if it helps you, it's on page 908. Okay, why don't you stand? We're going to read. In the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the high priest, saying, "Thus speaks the Lord of hosts. This people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built." Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, "Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your panelled houses and his temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat but do not have enough. You drink but are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes." Anyone sometimes feel like that? Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's five of you. There's only three in the first service. Yeah, you know the feeling. "Thus says the Lord, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. Therefore, the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. For I called for a drought on the land and the mountains, on the grain and on the new wine and the oil, on whatever the ground brings forth, on men and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. Then Zerubbabel and Joshua, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. Isn't it nice to occasionally read that? How many times do you read through Kings, the people did evil, the people did evil, the king did evil? They obey. The governor, the high priest, and all the people obey the voice of the Lord and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people feared the presence of the Lord. And what we're talking about here is not that they weren't scared of the presence, they honored the presence. God was in their midst. He was focusing them to honor his presence, as I'll try and explain in a minute. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the governor, So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of the person I can't pronounce, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua. There it is. That's what I was looking. And he has a father as well, the high priest. And the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius. Grab a seat. Okay. See if I can do a better job of teaching than actually reading. So, Haggai is addressing the leaders, Zerubbabel, who's the governor of Judah, and Joshua, who is the high priest. And if you know this collection of the minor prophets, they're key characters in this story of coming back out of the exile of Babylon that Jeremiah prophesied would happen. And what's happened is they've listened to the people who have said, it's not time. We're not ready to build the house of the Lord. Why? Well, the people have lost faith in God's covenant. Even though they're returning, the people have lost faith in God's covenant. They've lost the desire to gather in God's presence, and they have no vision for the future. And so what's happened is the rebuilding of the temple has halted. And now, leaders must always listen to the voice of God and lead people into his presence, not listen to the people. Leadership is volunteering to be ugly. Why? Because you're trying to move people where they don't always want to go. So the Lord speaks by Haggai saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and his temple lies in ruins? Now, let me try and explain this bit, because there are two possible interpretations of what Haggai is talking about. Either the contrast is between luxury and austerity, i.e. the people are living in luxury and the house of the Lord is in ruins, or it's completion or incompletion. And I think it's the latter. You see, whether King James translates paneled, the better translation that many of theologians say is roof. You see, what he's actually saying is, your houses have roofs on. Okay, but the Lord's house is left incomplete. You're trying to complete your houses instead of his house. You know, the thing was, well, once I get my life sorted out, once I'm all okay, then I will sort out my life with God. Then I'll sort out God's house, and he's going, no, that's the wrong way around. When we sort out our relationship with God, we sort out his house, and then our house comes into order. It's him first, not us. So the Lord says, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you're not filled to drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages is just like he's putting them into a bag, and it's like draining out the bottom. And what he's doing is he's mirroring the blessing and curses from Deuteronomy 11. that when the people obeyed the Lord, there was these blessings would be released. But when they disobeyed the Lord and they turned to other gods, that the ground would withhold and there would be a curse that would come on. And you see that what was happening was the heavens and the earth are not cooperating. So when heaven and earth is not cooperating with humanity, substance is not produced. You see, when we gather in the presence of God, heaven and earth are cooperating. And the blessing of God starts to flow. You see, when he's saying heaven withholds the dew, he's talking about the life. You see, when we're in the presence of God, the life of God starts to flow. And when the earth withholds his fruit, he's talking about abundance. You know, that there's not enough. When we started, when we started this journey, the Lord said, go after my presence, get your thinking about money right, and go after salvation by calling people to me and healing bodies. And you see, what we found was he wanted us to move from a mindset of not enough, lack, to more than enough. That heaven is not broke. And as we start to understand that heaven isn't broke, we can move into abundance. Now, this is particularly important if you're English, all right? Because we tend to live in this not enough. The weather's not good enough. The roads are too bad. You know, we're a nation of complainers. And you know what happened to them in the wilderness? And what God was saying to us, I want you to change your thinking about money. And heaven has, the streets are paved with gold. Heaven is not broke. God wants to release his resource. But what he's saying is you cannot separate your finances from God's finances or your house from his house. You see, when you build his house, he builds your house. And what the prophet says is, he says, I want you to do three things. He says, I want you to go up and get wood. I want you to bring it down and I want you to build. I want you to go up. I want you to come down and I want you to build that I might take pleasure and be glorified. Well, how does this help us? Well, he only tells them to go and get the wood. It's interesting. Why don't they have to get the gold and the rocks? I mean, maybe some of the rocks were already there from the temple that had been destroyed. Maybe the wood has been burnt by the Babylonians. But what he tells them is to do what they can do. Okay, so he says, go and get the wood. He's going to, next week we'll look at chapter 2 where he'll say, the gold and the silver, they all belong to me. You see, when the job seems enormous, we need a miracle. God has his part and we have our part. He says, you do what you can do and go and get the wood. And as you build, you're going to learn about heaven's provision. So we sow in faith and experience a miracle. And this is part of the next part of our journey, of understanding what heaven can do when the presence of God dwells in our midst. You see, sow what you can sow and it will multiply. It's a kingdom principle. And what they've been experiencing is decrease. It was getting blown away. But what Haggai is saying is now come and complete the house and heaven and earth will cooperate and produce multiplication. Now, somebody might be here and go, where that was Old Testament. We're in the New Testament. And we are the new temple, okay? So we don't need to build buildings. Well, the thing is, we've been going through Acts. There's nowhere in the New Testament where people don't gather. Gathering doesn't stop. In fact, Jesus says, "Where two or three of you gathered, there am I right in the midst." You see, when we gather together as his people, we experience the manifest presence of God. It's where healings are released. You just saw it. It's where salvation is released. You're probably going to see that in a minute. It's where callings and anointings are released. It's where the gathered church is. The manifold wisdom of God is made known to the principalities and powers, the heavenly rulers in the heavenly places, according to the heavenly purposes of God, which he accomplished in Christ our Lord, Ephesians 3. That's what happens when we gather and we worship. The goodness and the greatness of God is declared to the principalities and powers who shake. And we're going to read a bit about that next week in chapter 2 of Haggai, where the desire of the nations will come. So we sow in our desire to go up to the mountain to get all the wood we can, so the house of the Lord is completed. On Tuesday night, somebody grabbed me and they said, Steve, I've been listening to you talk about tithing. We do it every week when we do the offering. And so let me get this right. He says, I've earned £400, so I need to give 40, right? I said, absolutely, that's right. He said, here you go. I hate it when people give me money. Okay, because I always put it in my front pocket because I know anything that goes in, don't give me money. If you do give me money, if it goes in my front pocket, it's okay, it's going to go to the church. If it goes in my back pocket, I'm keeping it. Okay, so that's how it works. And he gave it to me, and we just that day been looking at this building that's come up, and the Lord says, count it as seed. So on Tuesday prayer, we just put it at the front and said, here's some seed in the ground. And we just prayed, as we're going to in a few moments. And as we prayed, and then somebody came at the end and said, I just felt God speak to me, I'd like to give 10,000. See, that's how it works. You just bring what you can, and it's sowed, and then God starts to multiply it. And that's what we want to see. Look, if the United Kingdom wants to see a revival, we need to build houses of worship. Not just this one. Schools, plural, of ministry. Antioch churches that reach the nation. Houses that the pleasure of God can dwell in. It's time to build them again. Now, let me just talk. I want to talk because you might be a business person here, or there may be a business person watching online. I know that we have thousands of people that watch online. You know, there are hundreds and thousands of Christian business people who for too long, and I'm saying this nicely, have been saying it's not time to build the Lord's house. Now, I'm not saying you haven't been generous, and I'm not saying you haven't been sowing. You have been sowing, and you've been sowing into the community, and you've been doing lots of wonderful projects. And that is generous and good, but lives and souls need to be saved. Okay, Jesus said, I'll build my church, not a roundabout with flowers on it. He said, I want to build my church. And when my church is built, the gates of hell will not prevail. And I want to say to you, some of the business people, it's time to invest in the local church, not just this church, every local church. And you know, you can go, well, I don't know if I can trust them with my money. Well, you can probably trust them more than you can trust you. Because look at the back. Look at what is that. It is time to build the church. And that means investing. And as businesses invest, the Lord releases blessing on businesses. Let me read you something. This is Jesus. And this is the thing I love about Jesus, he gets right in your face. All right, this is what Jesus says. He spoke a parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I'll do this. I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then those whose will those things be which you have provided. So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Look, when you die, your riches will remain here. Now, it's really good to set up for your family and for your children and for your children's children. The Bible talks about that. That is a really good thing. But you must sow before you reach heaven. Because a big barn will not mean anything in heaven, but rather richness towards God. Did you go up? Did you bring it down? And did you build? And so, business people, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to start investing in the local church. What are the projects? What are the things that need doing? What is God saying to the local church? And start investing some of your profits. Businesses need to tithe as well as people need to tithe. Now, we need a miracle. The Holy Spirit told us to treasure his presence, to get our thinking about money right, and to go after salvation. His presence is here. From the first day we went after his presence, it was here. We've seen over 1,000 people come to Christ over the last few years. Now we need to experience the miracle of provision. I don't want a tatty warehouse. I want to build a building that glorifies God so that everyone in this country will know that he is Lord. All right? And we've spent the last few years with water gushing in, spinning our wheels. Enough. Cromer Church, the job is not finished. We are to build the house for the Lord and he will come and dwell in it. Okay, we are to prepare to export revival to this land. We had to raise up the young preachers, the worship leaders, the church planters. We've spent 7 years in the Lord's presence. It's now time to take it out. And in a few moments, I want us to pray. And I want us to lift. In fact, I'm done. We're gone over time. Go on, stand up. In a moment, I want us to pray and lift our voices that the provision of heaven will be released. Now, be careful, because it's going to start with you and me. It starts with us sowing. But I tell you, he wants to teach us about the principles of the multiplication of heaven. When Jesus multiplied food, he can multiply resource. And it's time to learn how it works, okay?
Thanks for listening to the Cromer Church podcast. If you enjoyed this message, you can like and subscribe. You can also join us in person or online every Sunday at Cromer Church. For more information about us, including our ministries, events, worship, and how to donate, visit our website at cromer.church.